May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Over 800 years ago, in a chapel in a small town in Italy, a man was kneeling in prayer. The chapel had once been a thriving place of worship, but now it was in disrepair. The roof had caved in, the walls were cracked, and the altar was covered in debris. The man, named Francesco, didn't know why he was there. He came from an affluent family. His father, Pietro, was a cloth merchant at a time when the world was transitioning from the feudalism of the Middle Ages to an aggressive capitalist society and money economy. Pietro belonged to that first generation of property businessmen. It was the very beginnings of the modern age, an age of commercialism, competition, and above all, greed. And no one exemplified this better than Pietro. Francesco enjoyed his family's wealth. He was a big partier, known among his friends as the King of Feasts. A bit reckless, Francesco got caught up in a war with a neighboring town and was taken hostage for a year until his father paid his ransom. It wasn't long before he signed up to go to war again, because now he wanted nothing more than to be a knight and find glory in battle. He set off to join the Fourth Crusade. But on the way, he had a dream in which a voice told him to return to his hometown. What he should do next would be revealed to him there. Though he knew he would be perceived as a coward, Francesco turned around and went home. And praying in that broken-down chapel on the outskirts of town, he heard the voice again. Francesco, rebuild my church. You see that it is falling down. Ever the man of action, Francesco set out to do exactly that. He took some of his father's textiles and one of his horses and sold them to buy building materials. When he ran out of that money, he started going door to door in town, asking each person to donate a single stone. At first, the town mocked him, but soon everyone began to pitch in. And he received so many donations that Francesco was not only able to repair the chapel, but two other dilapidated churches as well. Unfortunately, his father didn't take too kindly to his selling of company property to fund his charity project. Pietro publicly dragged his son before the local bishop, accusing him of stealing from the family and demanding that he return the money or else be cut off forever. Suddenly, Francesco stood at a crossroads. Either submit to his father's authority and earn his way back to a life as Pietro's son, with all its wealth, privileges, and security, or submit to God. He made his decision immediately. In front of everyone present, he stripped himself of all the clothes he was wearing and placed them at Pietro's feet. He had renounced his inheritance. My only father, he said, is our Father who is in heaven. You could say the camel had passed through the eye of the needle. From that day on, Francesco lived a life of poverty and total dependence on God. In our gospel lesson from Mark, we find another young man standing at a similar crossroads. Unlike Francesco in his youth, he was what others might call a solid guy. All his life, he had done well. He had no great sins to speak of. He was a Hebrew among Hebrews. And yet, he ran to catch Jesus as he was leaving town and knelt before him to ask, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered as any rabbi would answer, "You know what's required. How are you doing with keeping the law?" The young man says he's kept it all his life. Essentially, he's saying, "I've been good. even though Jesus already said that no one is good except God alone. Jesus is the only one who is good, the only one who has truly fulfilled the law since his youth. And yet he doesn't press the issue. Instead, we're told that he looked at the young man and loved him. Jesus saw that he was trying his best and still knew he hadn't gotten there, that he was missing something. After all, if he self-righteously believed that he was good to go to inherit eternal life, then why was he on his knees before Jesus? Clearly, this young man was looking for the kingdom. And so Jesus gives him the missing piece. He says, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." This isn't the answer the young man expected to hear. Sell all that I have? What's wrong with owning what I have a right to own, what I've earned? I've given my tithes, I've given my alms, but give everything? That's not in the law. And yet that's the price Jesus puts on inheriting eternal life. Everything. Everything. Like Francesco, the young man stood at a crossroads. Return to the status quo, return to the way we've been doing things, to all that we're used to and all that we know, or leave everything behind and follow Jesus. But he couldn't do it. He couldn't follow Jesus there. It was the end of the road for him. And Jesus looked around at his disciples and said, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." Here we come to the heart of the issue, not just for the rich young man, but for Francesco and for each of us. We all, in our own way, feel a deep, persistent need to add to ourselves. It's the mindset of the world we're born into, a mindset of perpetual gain, of self-increase, of ladder climbing. Whether it has to do with wealth, as in the case of the young man who had acquired many possessions, or status, as in the case of Francesco, who wanted to be recognized as a noble knight. We have to always be moving upward in the world in some recognizable way. Upward and never downward. What we own, where we live, what we do, what we make, what we accomplish, who we are, who our friends are. There's always something we're trying to grasp, some place we're trying to reach. And if we could just get there, we would be happy. Life would be so much easier. More money, more respect, more security, more success, more admiration. It seems that by every metric, we believe that more is always better. And yet, no matter where we are, we feel that we are always lacking that one thing. We are stuck in the need to add to ourselves. You could say we have an addiction to addition. The rich young man's response to Jesus is very telling, because we're told that he was disheartened and sorrowful when he heard Jesus' words. He wanted eternal life to be something he could earn the same way he had earned his wealth. He had worked hard for the things he had added to his life, just as he had worked hard to keep each of the commandments. And here's the thing. It's good to keep the commandments. And there's nothing wrong with earning money or owning things. There's nothing wrong with being successful or living a noteworthy life. These are good things. The problem is that we believe that these things will get us there. We put our confidence in them. And the more we lean into that confidence, the more we add to ourselves, the higher we climb, the more we make of ourselves, the harder it becomes to let go. We become too big to fit through the eye of the needle. The only way through is to let go of whatever it is we're clinging to. The rich young man couldn't let go. He had gone so far down that road, he was unwilling to turn around. He had invested too much. Going backwards flew in the face of all he knew. It would undo everything he had worked toward all his life. But that's what Jesus was inviting him to do, to let it all go, to follow him down an entirely different road that didn't involve the need for possessions or status or success or ladder climbing. Jesus was inviting him to have an altogether different mindset. That's what the word repentance means in Greek, metanoia, a change of mind. And that's the message Jesus preached. Change your mind, because the kingdom of God is near. If the rich young man had been able to change his mind and let go of the wealth that he had earned, he would have been small enough to accept the unearned gift of God. This is the paradox of the upside-down kingdom. The way up is down. To climb, we have to descend. To be first, we have to be last. To save our life, we have to lose it. The spiritual life, as Meister Eckhart says, has much more to do with subtraction than it does with addition. And yet, even in the church, we have a mindset of addition. We go about constantly finding ways to make much of ourselves through traditions and doctrines and moralistic behaviors. We substitute transformation for education, knowing Christ for Christology. And whenever we place ourselves on that scale, there's usually someone above us and always someone below us, someone who is more and someone who is less than, someone who is right and someone who is wrong. Instead of preaching a change of mind because the kingdom of God is near, we preach sin management and self-improvement. It's all about us. In Francesco's day, the church had lost all credibility. It had made much of itself through its pursuit of wealth and political power. It was in a state of utter disrepair and on the verge of collapse. In the new world of commercialism, Jesus had become just another commodity. But all it took was for one man to have a change of mind. Like Jesus, Francis, as we now know him, didn't climb upward, but downward. He made himself small. He followed Jesus to the poor, the sick, and the rejected. He simply left the world behind and became one of them. And unlike the rich young man who went away disheartened and sorrowful, Francesco was known to everybody around him as a man of joy, because he was always letting go. He was always free. And he was always with Jesus. By the time of his death, he had inspired thousands all across Europe to do the same. And it saved Christendom. Saint Francis truly did answer the Lord's call to rebuild his church. As I look at the church today, I see some rebuilding that needs to happen here as well. And I'm not just talking about some of the plaster you see falling off the walls. We are losing credibility again, and all for the same reasons. We need a change of mind. We need to follow the one who let go of heaven to find us on earth, who let go of his life so that we might have life, so that we might be free from the need to possess anything other than him, free from the need to be anything other than his. In Philippians 3, Paul says, "We are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Amen.